Okay, in Mark chapter 4, I shared something with my department heads. And John and I were talking afterwards, and John said, you need to share this with the body. And I said, okay, I bear witness with that. And so we've been talking about doubt and how doubt was the enemy of faith. And we covered pretty much everything concerning that. And so if you hadn't been here all the Sunday mornings, you need to get those CDs and listen to them. They're very important for your life. This morning I want to talk about a very important thing that was part of my life. It's been quite a few years ago that I went to the Lord one day and I asked Him, Lord, what are the signs that will show me that I'm being changed into the right thinking? You know, I know the Word of God is supposed to get into my mind and cause me to think differently. You know, Romans 12 through chapter 15 is very obvious that it's talking about the renewing of the mind. Most of the time we talk about Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 and 3. But really, the renewing of the mind is carried through to about the 15th chapter, I think, the 7th verse of chapter of the book of Romans. And had not been too long ago when the Lord had shared with me that every one of those scripture verses from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 15, verse 7, had to do with fellowship, not relationship. And relationship is family. It's a birthing. It's something that we become related, like family, things like that. But fellowship is different. Fellowship is not necessary relationship, but fellowship has something to do with our interaction with each other. How many understand what I'm saying? In other words, relationship has been settled with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're born into the kingdom. We're all on the same ground. We all start from that place of the new birth. We all come out of the same womb, which is the womb of God. And so, therefore, we all have a relationship. Every one of us in this building, we are related because all of us have the same Father. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Even though we don't live in the same household, and thank God for that, amen? We have enough problems with those that are living with us. But we do have a relationship. Most of the time we find that relationship being settled by God is not our issue as much as fellowship. And so that's why the Bible speaks a lot about fellowship. That's why 1 John is based upon fellowship. And it's very amazing. I had to break myself of the habit of using those words interchangeably. And so sometimes we'll say things without thinking what we're saying, and we'll use the word relationship when we should have meant fellowship. And so we use that interchangeably a lot. And so I would correct myself, and then I would correct others when they had them mixed up. And I'd stop somebody and say, no, you're talking about fellowship there, not relationship. Because both of us were born into the kingdom of God. The issue is not whether or not we have the same relationship. The issue is, are we fellowshipping where the Spirit of God wants us to fellowship? How many understand what I'm talking about? And, you know, so you hear people all the time saying, we need to build relationship. Listen, I understand that meaning. But it really irritates me because you do not have to build a relationship. Relationship is established. When you're born into something, your relationship is established. Now, when you're talking about building on that relationship, there's where you have to see fellowship. You see? See, many of us understand what I'm talking about because we're sitting here right now in this congregation and we have a relationship with somebody we don't have no good fellowship with. And so that's why the Bible deals a lot in the realm of fellowship. You see? And so God has to build that relationship in our heart so that we improve our fellowship with each other. If you haven't been coming on Wednesday night, which I know a lot of you have not been, you need to get the CDs because I'm talking about what true spirituality is. It is not identifying people as being spiritual through natural means, but true spirituality is transformation on the inside of the heart of people. That is true spirituality. Just because a person goes to church doesn't mean they're spiritual. I know many people that go to church and there's nothing spiritual about them. Matter of fact, if you confront them and pin them against a wall, they will not give you a rundown on their fellowship with the Lord at all because they basically don't have fellowship with Him. They have a church society they rub elbows with, but they don't have a personal walk with God. And that is so important. You know why God honors the ministry what's her name that's real famous right now? Joyce Meyer. You know why God honors her ministry so well? I don't know if any of you ever studied her materials or listened to some of her CDs, but you will see out of her mouth comes constantly these words. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord showed me. The Lord told me. You know what that means? She's got a two-way conversation going called personal fellowship with her living Father. You see, and so she is confronted with things in the natural, but somehow, because she has that personal walk with God, He's able to process things inside her heart that a defilement does not come out of her. But what comes out of her is the glory of God. See, that's that inner process that takes. That's what makes us spiritual, is because we have a personal face-to-face confrontation of what Christ in me means. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Or is it 2 Corinthians chapter 3? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, "For we fellowship with Him face-to-face." And people who do not develop a personal fellowship with the Lord will socially die in this natural realm because they are not being able to process the fruit on the inside of them. And that fruit, every one of those fruits, is social activity. Because we say the fruit of the Spirit, we don't look beyond some unseen realm. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it's talking about social development with people in our life. Male and female. Husband, wife, children and parents. Are you following what I'm saying? Friends and relatives. Church friends. Church relatives. There is such a thing, right? But what I'm trying to say here is that the key to really being able to develop things properly within our heart, it requires a personal, very personal walk with Him. And if you don't have that personal walk with Him and you're just socially going about the affairs of life, no matter where it is, eventually you're going to run into problems. I don't care who you are, what level you're at, you're going to run into problems with each other. I don't care what anybody says, it comes with the territory. Somebody said, "Well, how did I ever get in this mess to begin with?" You were birthed. You were born into this world. And the sad thing about it is we're born into a fallen world. I would have loved to have been born into the third heaven right here, but that isn't possible. But it is possible for us to literally walk in a specific realm where we're at so that the Lord's Prayer would be fulfilled in our life. And that is that we would reverence and honor His name. And so whenever we do things, we do it as though heaven itself is guiding us and leading us, so that the kingdom of heaven really operates through us while we're here. You know, one thing that we've got to realize, that if you never die to yourself and resurrect to a new understanding of yourself, your life can never really begin again. And I see people give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, but along with the process, they never really die to that former life. And then we've had doctrines that come down the road to instruct us on how to cope with the things where we're at. But listen, those doctrines won't do you any good until, first of all, you die. You recognize what it means to die to the old life and become accustomed to the new. And so we have certain people come along and give us doctrines that seemingly try to give us information that our former life is still carrying itself on. Such as inner healing. I need to touch my inner child. God touched your inner child. God did something to your inner self. It's called born again. He gave it a new identity. And so if you get into this roundhouse of bad doctrine that tells you that you've got to learn how to deal with your old life and old nature as it seemingly is carrying itself on now. Listen, I got news for you. When you got born again, your life became brand new again. You know, you got to realize that. And I know that we have past memories of things. We've got healing of memories now. But there's only one healing that can really take place in your life, and that is the Word of God and a personal fellowship with the Lord to work in your heart to get things really changed. You know. And over the years I've worked with people, and I do sympathize with them. I do understand why they have some fears in their life with certain people. But when you begin to realize that you are a new person, you have a different relationship. Now it's time to literally develop your inner relationship that you've inherited from the Lord so that your fellowship with society improves. Amen. Now, having said all that, one day I asked the Lord, what are the signs that would show me that I'm being changed into the right thinking? Now, you guys may have never even thought of that. But you know something? I got news for you. These kind of things that come alive in your thinking shows something. It shows you that you're seeking God. When you don't have these kind of things in your thinking, it means that you've quit seeking the Lord. You know, something, listen, Christ in you is the hope of His glory. Now, why did He say that? To make sure that you would be safe and secure to go to heaven when you die? The word glory there is a Greek word, doxa, which literally means to be transformed into His likeness. To emanate the person that He is. To be the witness He wants you to be. With mankind, with society. He didn't say Christ in you, the hope of glory. For Him to do something for you, but for Him to be able to do something to you. Not for you, to you. And yet many of us never connect with people. Many of us never connect with people, nor do we have a desire to connect with people. And I'm going to tell you something. That should be a major concern for every one of us in this building. And that is to be able to connect with people. If you don't have a desire to connect with people, I got news for you. Forget the fruit of the Spirit. Because every one of those fruits is social activity. Long suffering. To suffer long. Does that have anything to do with fellowship? Would it be with just yourself? Do you know that people who take their life cannot suffer long with themselves? See, these fruit has everything to do with sociality. Not going to the third heaven, but sociality. When people do not have a personal walk with God, everything they touch, they can acquire spiritual insight and yet not apply it to their life because they don't have God communicating back to them how to apply it. I can read it. Yeah, you can read it, but God has to speak it to you. His word is not has not been penned that it doesn't have a voice to it. It has been penned so that God can put His voice to the word. And if you're not into it, how can He voice it? Now, His primary goal in your fellowship with Him is not to communicate with you how to relate to somebody else. His first primary goal is to communicate to you how you need to relate to yourself in order to relate to somebody else. I know what I'm talking about. It doesn't mean I'm walking in the fullness of it, but I sure have the understanding and I'm striving for it. Amen? I hope I don't sound like, this is what you need to do. Don't follow what I do, but follow what I say. You guys wouldn't be here. You've got to put action to when God speaks to you in your heart. And He'll speak to you out of the Word of God. He will speak directly to you out of the Word of God. And so I went to him and I asked, what are the signs showing me that I'm really starting to think the right way? I know what it says in the Word about having your mind changed or transferred, but God helped me put together an understanding of how I know that I'm being changed into the right thinking. Now listen, you cannot think this way. Well, this is where Mark 4 comes in. Look at Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 16. It says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Underline the word receive. They receive it with gladness. Now notice the next verse. And they having no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Endure only for a time means a season, a time for opportunity that has been cut short. Has been cut short. They receive it, notice it's with gladness. They love the message. They love what they heard. But somehow, what they heard didn't take root in them. Now I'm going to tell you something. When a ground receives seed, would it not be for the purpose of that seed taking root in that ground? How many can say amen to that? I mean, you know, a good farmer, when he goes to a ground and puts seed in it, he's hoping that the seed will take root. See, a lot of us, we hear the Word of God, but somehow it's not taking root in us. Why? Well, they hear the word. They hear the word. Says they hear the word. And now, are you ready for this one? They not only heard the word and then received it with gladness, but it was planted in their heart. Well, so why then what they heard, they received, why in the world tribulation came into their life or persecution and they become offended? Why did they become offended? Well, you know, sometimes you'll hear the Word of God and listen. You'll like it. You'll love the message just as long as you don't take what you heard and apply it to yourself. As long as you can take that word that you hear and judge others with it, you're okay. You can even do the chicken walk on Sunday. Because you were able to take a truth and judge somebody else with it, but not yourself. Why? Because somehow when people don't take the Word of God and do something for themselves, what they do is they sit there and they gather this knowledge and rather self-judgment. They turn around and judge others according to it. And guess what? What put them in that position? Well, first of all, there has to be a self-righteousness that's working in them. They're okay. It's just everybody else. You know, you got to know that something's wrong with somebody when the whole world is wrong but them. Somebody's got to shake their head and say, yes, amen. Now, he says they were offended. When you see people get into a very difficult situation in life, rather than having victory over it, they collapse under it, and they'll turn and they'll be offended simply because the Word let them down. You know, God gives you His Word. And listen, His responsibility is not to see to it that it's up to Him to make it work in you. That's your job. I was talking to Marilyn Braxton yesterday. I thought it was very interesting how the Lord had put it into her understanding that when you have that personal walk with God and He speaks to you, the thing that He does is He'll take the Word and adjust you.
That's right. Yeah.
See, and when He makes the adjustment in you, then your fellowship with others will be a whole lot different.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Goes with the territory. Many of us don't realize that, how important it is to have that personal walk with God. If you don't have a good personal walk with God, you will find yourself as the center of everything. And you cannot live in peace when you are self-centered. Because anybody can upset you, including the Word. Because there's something in people's thinking that, well, I heard the good Word and it should have worked. What is your problem, God? Marilyn brought out something else. She was listening to some teaching, and this teaching was telling you how the Lord will change the way you think. And she said, I just don't agree with that. And I says, I hope not. It's up to you to make the decision for change in your own thinking. It's not up to God. It's up to you. If you think that just because you hear the Word of God, everybody else should be okay, that ain't gonna cut it. Because too many of us make too many mistakes. Now, wouldn't it be nice if all of us knew what was in your thinking, and so when we rubbed elbows with you in our fellowship, that we know exactly how to do it, and everything that we do just so that we would not offend you? Wouldn't that be an ideal church setting or situation? This place would be packed out. Why? Nobody would have been offended with anybody. Now, notice, you go down to verse 20 and it says, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the Word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, notice what he said. The first ones received it. They received it with gladness, but afterwards when persecution or affliction come into it. Do you know that the kingdom of God suffers violence? But it said the violence take it by force. Wouldn't it be nice to have a scripture that says the kingdom of God never suffers any violence, but God will take care of you? There ain't no scripture that says that. God works in your heart to make you victorious over anything. Over anything that is in the world. That's why 1 John is so powerful. People say they know that book and turn around and touch something in their life and it dies, but they know the book. No, you don't. You heard words, but you hadn't put it to action. That's why you're self-deceived. Because first of all, the Word of God has to put you to action first. Now, it's very interesting when I heard this, receive it with gladness. The Greek word for this word literally means that someone was in the right place at the right time and heard the right word of God, and it fell on them and they liked what they heard. But it just fell on them. That's what we call the word lambano. It means somebody took something and threw it at you and hit you and you liked it. Ooh, that was good. It's what I needed. Yeah, but when you get under conflict, what's being produced? You get this grumbling and this inward agony and this inward turmoil getting going. But you heard the word. It went right into you. But somehow it's bringing the defilement out of your life. Because something in here isn't being processed right. How do you think one of those fruits come out of you? Do they come out of you out of living a perfect, harmonious life with people? I don't think so. They come out of conflict. That's how they come out of. And that's why he said these heard the word and they loved it. They heard what they, but when it came to affliction and tribulation and persecution, that didn't work for them. Why? Well, first of all, they weren't seeking God for it. It just happened to fall on them. Some people come to church. Why? It's the right thing to do. They don't come to church. What have you got for me? What do I need refreshing? What do I need to hear again? What is it that you want to speak to me today, Holy Spirit? That's how I always attended church. What are you going to reveal to me today, Father? What is it that I need to take a look at? You see. Probably some of you never thought of this. How do I know I'm being changed in the right thing? Probably a good major portion of you never even thought of that. You want to know why? You wasn't really all that interested. Because somehow along your line, you quit seeking Him. You got to keep it in your heart to seek God at every opportunity. I mean, I seek Him constantly. If I'm not into the Word, He's in my mind and I'm constantly going over Scripture and passages and He just shows me new things. Just like Matthew chapter 5, that new revelation, that new insight that I got in verse 21 through 25. I never understood that passage before in my life. Never understood it. Had a lot of questions, a lot of question marks there. Finding God one day in prayer, I kept going over that. And I said, God, I know there's something in there that I gotta get these answers. And I'd show him how it's contradicting. And then, bam, all of a sudden it just came alive. John remembers when I ran into his office. I bounced something off of him to make sure I'm okay. And when he says that, bears witness right here. Bears witness right here. And I feel I'm okay. If I ever go into his office, what do you think, John? John goes, oh, I don't know about that one. And I go do another checkup from the neck up. But God took me down to these two verses, and that's what came to my teaching that I'm going to do, especially more next Sunday than this Sunday. But notice down at verse 20, but these are the ones who are sown on good ground, who hear the word, accept it and hear it, and bring forth fruit. Remember, fruit is the results of your branch. You know, the fruit of a tree is as a result of a process. Can anybody say amen? Amen. You know why that apple's on that tree? It went through a process. What? To produce that fruit. See, a lot of us don't, we call ourselves spiritual, but what fruit on your branch is spiritual? But in verse 20, it's the same word really, receive. Some of your translation might have the word receive. New King James got accepted, but it's still the word received. This word received is a different word than the word you find in verse 16. Immediately receive it with gladness. This word, are you ready? Lambano means to receive something that fell on you. To receive something that fell on you. This word lambano has nothing to do whatsoever to take action. The word does not give the indication in its scripture to take action. It just really means it came on you. You assimilated it. You understand it. But it doesn't have the connotation to take action. But down in verse 20, where it says accept it, this is a different Greek word. It's called paradekamai, which literally means to take action. And here's the difference between the two words. These people, it said, are good ground because they heard the word and accepted it and bore fruit with it. You want to know why? Paradekamai is a very interesting word. It literally means they went to a particular place for a specific reason to hear a specific message that they could specifically take that message and put it alongside themselves and change, because they were seeking a word from God to change them, not somebody else, not to take the word and judge somebody else with it, but to change them first of all. Boy, the more light you get, the more frustrated you become with people because they're so loose in their understanding of Scripture and how they word and say things about other people. I challenge myself every day. There isn't a day go by. I don't challenge myself for the wrong that I've done. You've got to be able to see outside your own bun. So in closing, I'm trying to let you see that you have to take the Word of God and quit applying it to everybody else under the sun. And start applying it to yourself first. Be willing for self-evaluation. That is David's success. He said, no matter where I was in life, no matter how much God knew about me, no matter where I was, man, anytime I needed God, He was always light even in my darkness. He was always there. People say, I know God's with me. I know it too. You just don't know it. And then He gave us the key why He was so successful. A man after God's own heart. He said He even hated His enemy with a perfect hatred. Wow! You mean God got so much into his heart and understanding, He even knew when He was right to stand against somebody. Wow, what a... Well, how did you do that, David? He said, God, take and see my heart, if there's any wickedness, any evil in me. When was the last time you went into your prayer closet, if you've got one, and sat down and said, God, give me an evaluation of myself. I'll tell you what, you ain't going to like it. And some of you ain't even get a good word back from God. You want to know why? God just keep His mouth shut. Because He knows your heart, whether you're ready to receive it or not. And if He knows you're not ready to receive it, you know what you'll get? Silence. Why? Because when God speaks to you, He speaks to you out of what He said in Proverbs. He says when He speaks to you, He says His voice speaks in such a way that it's in perfect timing. And it frames your whole world and bears much fruit. Because it's framed in silver and apples of gold. It means it has value when God speaks to you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? God's not a blabbermouth. There's a lot of people, every time they turn around, God's telling them this and God's telling them that. And half of what comes out of them ain't my voice or my Lord. When God speaks, He speaks very little. But boy, when He speaks, He just blows your world apart. Now, first of all, you need a personal prayer life. You need to personally sit down with God and personally talk to Him. Well, I'm just too busy. Get unbusy in that area. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get some place where you're busy and fellowshipping with God, Satan will see to it your time is taken up. Now, next week, I'm going to hand these out next week, these notes. And there's 13 points that the Lord had put in my heart. That took me a little time for Him to put all these points there, but I wrote them down and John typed them up for me. But there's 13 points that God showed me that will let me know, this is self-evaluation, will let me know that I'm being changed into the right thinking. And I went, wow. And I wrote these all down for you. We got all the scriptures here. And so next Sunday when we come, I'm going to hand out one sheet for every family. And we're going to hit all these points. Point number one that he brought out. That if you are really knowing that your mind is being changed by the Word of God, the first thing, you will begin to gain victory over your flesh. Amen. You will not cop up a doctrine to continue on in sin and God still got you covered. That is not the voice of my Lord. The first thing God does, He gives you a gain of victory over your physical being. Second thing, am I making appeals through excuses? Many start out in the kingdom of God, and then because of excuses back off and are no longer serving God. I mark those kind of people. Am I making appeals through excuses? This is where faithfulness begins to come in and put death in our life. Number three, fellowship with people takes a major turn to victory. When I start listening to God and the way He speaks to me, He gives me a major turn in my social life with my neighbor. Whether it's my wife or whether it's my children or whatever. God will do something on the inside of me to give me a major victory in that area. And I'll tell you what, if you can look back on last year and see death had settled into your fellowship with people, then you look at yourself and not them. Most of the time we want to look at them. I'm where I'm at because of them. You know, that's a con game on you. You're where you're at because you chose to be where you're at. Number four, your desire to please the Lord by taking an interest for the sake of others. You begin to do things without murmuring and disputing. You begin to submit to the authority of the Word over your own desires. The right fear begins to work in your conscience, and the wrong fear begins to loosen its grip on you. Your love for others increases. Self-sacrifice becomes more evident. You lose the position of being easily offended. Your tolerance for others increases. You are concerned more about your witness to others. You respond to an inward conviction of error. You train yourself not to neglect your inner conscience. Money no longer controls the decisions of your life over spiritual growth or people. Number 13, you will see the power of God in your life. Those are the 13 points that we're going to be covering. Thank God I've got them all written down. And I know that just because God spoke them to me, listen, it doesn't mean that God won't speak them to you, because He will. But you have to have a self-evaluation. He that is spiritual will restore him that is overtaken in a fault, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. Meaning that man who's spiritual has the ability of self-evaluation first. He knows what it's like to be tempted and going through things. It's amazing how religious minds always cough up excuses for another person's faith. Well, the reason they're doing what they're doing, they got devils. No, the reason they're doing what they're doing is because they're not connecting to the Word of God. just picking up devils is just the result of really the bottom line of why people fail. They're not connecting with their personal Redeemer. That's the bottom line. You can put anything to it you want to in a little mask of some kind. But really what it boils down to is somebody did not connect with God in their personal walk with Him. That's the bottom line. And anything else after that is complete conjecture. It'd be nice if every time somebody make a mistake, you could put on these glasses that would view their, where their mistakes came from. Oh, a devil made them do that. Really, what it boils down to is a lack of respect for what God says from His Word. I thank God He gave me to the United States. I thank God He gave me a desire to go deeper into the understanding of the Word of God. You want to know why? America, a first world country, they know more about the kingdom of God than any other country, but do less and have less conviction than those that have just heard the gospel for the first time. I ask God, why did you give me to these people? And He says, because I can move in your heart and give you what they need to put a greater conviction in them. When you hear the Word of God and it don't go to scratching at you, there's something wrong with you. Did you guys get something here this morning? Yeah, really, I enjoyed Ted and them better. But I have all of this laid out in Scripture for you, in Scripture notes, and I'll hand them out at the beginning of next Sunday's service so you guys can take and really focus in on it. And is that all right with you guys? And really just follow through and just do a self-evaluation. Forget about other people. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Respect. Amen. Okay, with that said, you all better straighten up. With that said, everybody stand up. Hallelujah. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to share the Word with your people. Father, I thank you so much that we'll not sugarcoat it. But Father, we will deal the responsibility to your people, and it's up to them what they do with it. If they want to go someplace else and just hear what they want to hear, that's up to them. But Father, I like things that challenge me. And Father, may your Word challenge your people. May what I said this morning challenge your people. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you for your wonderful people. And Father, as we now dismiss this service, may they have a victorious day. Hallelujah.